Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrars Podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions related to the management systems certification industry. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjr.com/webinar or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning, depending on where you are, and welcome to today's webinar. My name is Parker, and I'm a member of the marketing team at the Perry Johnson Companies, and I'll be helping to facilitate today's webinar and offer support to our speakers. I'm also joined by our commercial manager of food safety and supply chain, Chris Reno. And today we're here with Jacqueline, who's the North American representative for FSC 22000, the globally recognized GFSI benchmark food safety and certification system. So let's go ahead and get started.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. So as Parker said, I'm Jacqueline Southey. I represent FSSC 22000 in North America, and it's my pleasure to be here with Perry Johnson to talk about FSSC. We're going to talk about version 6 today and the benefits, a little bit about why we introduced version 6, what the main changes are, how they may affect you, how we can support you, and also a little bit more about the management system approach that FSSC is based on. So as an introduction to FSSC, owns two standards now. So we refer to FSSC as a foundation, and it's an independent sort of non-profit owner of both the FSSC 22000 scheme and a new FSSC 24000 scheme. We were put together to make FSSC 22000, and the objective of 22000 was to make the international standard ISO 22000 available to industry through the GFSI benchmarking process. So we believe as a foundation that we can provide the industry a means of accessing the ISO management system approach and all it has to offer. So we're still a lean and collaborative foundation. We work through our licensed partners, such as Perry Johnson, to provide certification. We work through with our accreditation bodies, which provides assurance to the industry. And then we also are developing continuous improvement aspects through our assurance platform, which is our data side, where we have a register of all our certified organizations and making that accessible to the supply chain. We're developing programs for organizations that want to learn more about ISO management systems through our learning and development. So we have a foundation. We're more than just a certification program. We have a vision of creating a better world, which is why we've added the additional scheme. And we want to provide trust and deliver impact through the ISO management system approach. So that provides a little bit of a foundation about what we're talking about, then why really we developed version 6. So it'll all come together. So hopefully I can tell you the story about FSSC, version 6 and 24000 and the management systems. Now, it's not a training program today. It really is just a high level. We do provide more information, and Perry Johnson also will provide support to you if you need more support in sort of transitioning through a training process. But let me provide this overview. So start, look at FSSC 22000. So essentially, as Parker explained, it is the GFSI food safety certification program, and that's our starting point. It provides a framework for what we call robust and effective food safety management. And that's because it's based on the ISO 22000 food safety management system. We use the ISO standards, and the key with the ISO standards is they're global They're developed by consensus. They're public standards. In some areas of the world, they're used as a regulatory standard. And we use those and bring those to make them available to the consumer goods industry. And one of the benefits of the ISO standards and the ISO organization, they're basing them all on the same structure so that aspects across a company can benefit from this management system approach. They're science-based, as I said, they're developed by international experts, and they're the best way of doing things, so we believe that they're reliable. And FSSE is GFSI recognized, so that's what FSSE does. It brings ISO 22000 and makes it a GFSI recognized certification program and accessible to industry. And that provides a robust integrity, it provides a robust certification because we have an integrity program where we monitor and work with our certification bodies and accreditation bodies through our assurance and integrity program so that you can rely on the certification. So if a supplier comes to you with an FSSC certificate, you know that you can rely on it. And if you're meeting the requirements of the FSSC 22000 audit, you know also that you have a robust and reliable management system controlling the safety of your food. It's applicable right across the supply chain because the ISO 22000 requires sector-specific specifications that provide the GMPs or the technical specifications for that particular sector of the supply chain. So it covers food management, food manufacturing, food packaging manufacturing, transport and storage, food and feed, and retail and logistics. So, and those are covered by the different ISO prerequisite programs that are defined within ISO 22000. So we rely on the ISO approach and it proves to be very successful. So at this time, FSSE supports over 34,000 certified organizations all over the world. In certain parts of the world, ISO 22000 is used as a regulatory basis. It is recognized. So in Asia, it's very strong because in certain parts of the world, they rely on ISO 22000 and the facilities that the management system can provide. In Western Europe, in North America, we're growing considerably and we're well established in Latin America and Eastern Europe. So the good distribution across all the world, it's globally recognized. And we believe that as we grow and as other management systems are bought in, as companies need to move towards a more sustainable future, that this is going to be the answer moving forward. So FSSE has been around since 2009. We've developed through different versions, and last year we developed version 6. With any of the certification programs, everybody's always resistant to change. It takes quite a long time, obviously, to establish a management system within an organization. So everybody's always concerned about why version 6. So the reason for version 6 was that ISO also needs to continually improve. So it's constantly revising, it's constantly looking at its requirements, it's making sure that those requirements are actually suitable for industry. And in 2022, ISO revised a major ISO standard that defines the requirements for auditing food safety organizations. So as we're based on the ISO 22000, then we need to also to update FSSE 22000. So this was a major driver to look at FSSE and revise it and see where we need to align with ISO 22003. We also wanted to look at how, as an organization, we could contribute to the United Nations sustainability goals. So with 34,000 organizations around the world, we do feel that we could make an impact. And we wanted to use opportunities within version 6 to strengthen the requirements to support our certified organisations in their own contributions to meeting the United Nations sustainability goals. And we also used it to incorporate our own improvements. When you do anything, you can always do it better. We support the Plan, Do, Check, Act approach that the management system is based on. And so we're constantly looking at our own work, our own standards. So we've incorporated some editorial improvements, added some new details, amended as required. And also we did a survey over the previous year asking what would be the preferences, where people felt that we needed to improve, what was missing from FSSC 22000. So we're able to incorporate that. So we do feel that we're market driven. We want to stay in touch with the needs of you out there to provide you with a management system that meets your needs. So that's why we revised version 6. It was a major undertaking. It took a couple of years. And where we have revised it is in the additional requirements. So this is to remind you of what FSSC 22000 actually is. As I said, we're based on ISO 22000. So ISO 22000 requirements apply to all companies that are certified to FSSC 22000. Depending on the sector and the supply chain, you apply the prerequisite programs from the ISO 22002 series, and then the additional requirements. And these are now additional requirements, FSSC version 6. And these are the requirements that provide the consistency and integrity. They provide the governance of how we work with our certification bodies, how we maintain the integrity and the standard. And they also allow us, such as in this situation, to add agility to address emerging food safety issues. So some of the elements that we've added are modern elements addressing the industry as it is today and meeting the needs of the industry as it is today. ISO 22000 is a very, very solid foundation. The ISO standards take a number of years to be revised in their continuous improvement role. So this provides us a means to update and customize FSSC 22000 again to meet market needs. So we believe it provides an agility and a means to keep us up to date. So that's what we're going to talk about today, the additional requirements, and those that are being updated. So why did we do it, and what are the benefits? So as I said, we decided that there was opportunities for us to help companies contribute towards the sustainability goals, and we've added some food loss and waste requirements. And we believe that this is very new. We wanted to see how industry would react to this, and we've had a very, very positive response to it. So we've been able to add that within this version. We've incorporated quality control parameters, which are new for FSSC 22000, but it adds value to the certification program. It's not a quality management system. It's just a means of monitoring those quality aspects of your products that are integral towards its customer satisfaction, but also often the safety of the product. So you need now a management system or a program to manage your quality control parameters alongside your food safety management. And there's also incorporated the requirement for monitoring and recording and reporting on food safety and quality culture. So while you might already be doing this, you might not have a means of recording it. There may not be a ready means to audit it and show it off. So we've provided a mechanism for doing that. We've enhanced measures for certificate authenticity to protect our certificate by adding a QR code. An FSSC 22000 certificate is a very sought after commodity. It's very open to fraud. So we've incorporated now a QR code for a certificate. So again, if you are presented with an FSSC certificate, it requires a QR code so that you can check its authenticity and make sure that it is valid. We've been able to extend our scope to category F2, which is trading and brokering, which was requested by the market. And we've also added further detail in the scheme, which we believe has also added a benefit to the scheme for better understanding and a little bit more detail in its application. So hopefully the whole thing is a better product. It adds value, not only to the user, but also to the customer. So one of the things we talked about was, you know, the food loss and waste, and I said that it's been very well received. And one of the reasons is there's been so many initiatives. There's a EPA, IPA, FDA initiative to monitor, contribute to reduce food loss and waste. And we believe that we've provided an initial framework for all companies to begin to do this. And it's throughout the supply chain, and different estimates provide different calculations of how much food and loss there is. We believe there's up to about 40% is lost within the supply chain. And loss is before it's consumable, waste is after it's consumable. So once it's consumable and packaged, waste is post that. So there's opportunities to reduce food loss within the manufacturing sector. There's also an opportunity to reduce food waste in the retail distribution sector. So hopefully our requirement will have impact here, and in years from now we can look back and see that this has made an impact and we can reduce that percentage. So a little bit of detail about the main changes, which I'm going to go over very quickly, because as I said, this isn't a training webinar. It's just really to point out where those changes are, and that if any of these changes you feel will impact you, then I can share where you can go and get more information, or you can definitely pursue it with me or with Chris. So one of the main apparent changes, or one of the main changes that becomes apparent here, is the scheme's got a little bit smaller. So it now exists in four parts, and it exists in five parts. We have the scheme overview, we have the requirements for the organisations to be audited, which are those are the requirements which are probably most impact you. There's the requirements for the certification process, which affect our partners and certification bodies in actually doing the audit process. And then there's governing requirements for auditor qualification, part four, for certification bodies. And then there's requirement for accreditation bodies, which again is all part of the governance process to maintain really the security and reliability of the certification. There's appendices to provide support with references, and then there's annexes. There used to be more annexes because we did have FSSEQ, which was the combination of FSSC 22000 and 9001, but we have now taken that away and we have replaced, we haven't replaced it with the quality control requirements as such, but the market was not demanding FSSEQ as it was, so we've no longer offering that. So we have less annexes. It's made a slightly shorter requirements, but these are now all available online for version 6. A couple of changes in part one is in the categorization. This really is sort of small details, and it affects auditor qualification as much as anything, but we've reduced our scope to take out farming, and we start processing post-harvest. So pre-processing, handling of plants, so that will be washing, bringing up. So we don't have anything pre-harvest, and we don't have anything pre-animal conversion. So we're not covering farming at this point, but we do cover slaughter. So we start off at B3, taken out farming, we've taken out quality, and added trading and brokering. And these categories now are defined by ISO 22003. So that's why pet food has been moved into category C. So those are companion animals and feed and processing of animal feed. Food animals, so farm animals, are under D. So companion animals are under C. So those are all in the scheme documents. And maybe will be relevant to anybody within those categories. So the main changes in part two are strengthening these already existing inquiries. So this really is what we've referred to as strengthening and adding some more detail to some of these requirements. And it's really to make the sort of add value to the certification program or add some more security, add some more details, help companies clarify their programs, really assurance around some of the management of some of these aspects. So hopefully these will be helpful rather than seen as an added burden. So under sort of the relating to the use of recycled packaging, under the management of services, there's now a specification, for instance, to ensure that if you're using recycling packaging, you need to, you know, ensure that you're not going to be introducing any risk through that. So it should be treated as a raw material. And that's to sort of prevent the introduction of any migrating chemicals, for instance. And so while we certainly do not dissuade the use of recycling packages, we need to make sure that you review the risks of it and consider and review it as a sort of do a risk assessment and reviewing it as a raw material. There's some added controls on claims. So there are many claims on labels that we see now, whether it's sort of gluten-free, organic, fat-free. There's a whole myriad of claims. And we have a requirement to make sure that if you're putting claims such as this on your labels, you need to have evidence and verification to make sure that, you know, if they, you are having a nutritional claim on it, for instance, that you have evidence of it and it's not just a marketing claim, and that you can verify it, you have evidence from either the supplier or from yourselves of, you know, to support that claim. The management of artwork and print control is very important because there's so many recalls due to incorrect labeling. And this is a control process really to protect the company themselves, to, you know, make sure that you are controlling, you know, your artwork and include this within the food safety management system. And, you know, you need to have a plan to control that and provide evidence of compliance. Food defense and food fraud for suppliers and traders and brokering. That's to make sure that, you know, if you're operating with suppliers, you've still got to make sure that they have proper cover for food defense and food fraud. You know, that's not sort of your responsibility if you're obtaining products from them. You need to make sure that they're also protecting themselves. And then the management of allergens and environmental monitor is very important. And it's quite detailed. We've gone into some specific details on how you need to have an allergen management plan. People need to be educated in allergen management. You have to have a list of all the managements on site and control measures, you know, particularly in switchovers. And being realistic on labeling, you know, allergen may contain an allergen. Labeling is not a catch-all. And so these are really hopefully to sort of help you rather to be an added burden. And the environmental monitoring, also you need a monitoring program for the organisms that are relevant to your processes, you know, whether it's wet or dry. And again, it's strengthening of the existing requirements and a need to monitor it, go back, check for trends and everything. And then foreign matter management is in the supply and transport to ensure tanker cleaning, to check the record of what the tanker has been used for before. Foreign matter management is whether, if you don't have any detection validation, metal detector or anything, if you don't have it, why, and the validation of why you don't have it, because obviously foreign matter is a big hazard, has been a big reason for recall later. So hopefully, again, some of these are more detailed, some of them, you know, will require some extra effort, but again, hopefully it will make your life easier as a certified organization, but also provide added assurance for you if you're working with a supplier that is FSSC 22000. So added value, added benefits. And then we come down to the new additional requirements. And so our new additional requirements in part two include, as we've talked about, the food safety and quality culture, the quality control elements, the equipment management. So we have a requirements now for hygienic design of equipment management, our food loss and waste requirements, and then some more detailed additional communication requirements of the certification, certified organizations to the CB. So these are all new, these are added, and I've provided more detail on these. I won't go through them right now in the interest of time, but you will receive this presentation afterwards, so you can go back and you can research this, and there is more information on the website. So there's a new additional requirement to actually address food safety and quality culture, and there's a need under GFSI to have to maintain and implement the food safety and quality objectives. Now, previously in FSSC 22000, we haven't included this because we believe that ISO 22000 as a management system itself requires an establishment of a culture in order to maintain the management system. It's an all-encompassing management system. The whole company needs to be involved. The leadership needs to set the standard for maintaining food safety. It needs to ensure communication throughout the organization so that everybody is aware of the need for maintaining, for minimizing the risks and maintaining the safety of the food product. Training is very important so that everybody knows the importance of their role and what they need to do and why. And again, because they know what they need to do and why they're doing it, employer feedback and engagement is a very important part of the management system. But previously, there wasn't a way for a company, although a company probably has already incorporated it, there wasn't a way of monitoring it or to really report it or to show it off. And it was difficult for the auditor to audit it. So within this, it provides there is an element so that the auditor can come in and see the plan, see how the company is really addressing or being aware of these elements, communication, training, and feedback, and then also measuring the performance targets of achieving that culture and showing that the team and the company is involved in the defined activities and improving safety, maintaining and improving safety. So this, food safety is not new, the requirement is new, and it's an opportunity to monitor it and improve it. Food safety quality control, food quality control is a new element. And previously, 22000 has just been about food safety. But we believe that there's so many of the quality parameters are interlinked with food safety that it's important that these are monitored and brought in. elements and often, you know, they are mixed in. So for instance, if one of the quality parameters is color and you want your product is blue and it comes through and it's green, then it does suggest there is an element. So teams need to be aware that if the color is off, then there is possibly a safety issue and we need, and it needs to be monitored. So it's, again, it's a protective element around safety. It's also an added benefit, an added value to the certification. So companies need to establish and implement a quality policy that is along the same lines as their safety policy, identify the important parameters and then monitor them, and include these in the scope of the internal audit. So again, these are probably things that you are doing already, but this is an opportunity to monitor it and then to pick up any elements. And if you pick up any elements within an internal audit or within a management system, it provides an opportunity for improvement. And again, so let's change over and start up and start line, start up and chain over procedures are also important, that you need to continue and monitor all these elements, such as the allergen control and environmental monitoring, and the quality is important that these are monitored throughout. The equipment management, again, is a new element, and this requires you to have to make sure that the equipment that you're using is suited for purpose. There has been incidences where incorrect equipment has been used, or equipment has been aged and it's not working properly, this is now an opportunity for when you get new equipment. It's not grandfathered in. It's when you're getting new equipment that you ensure that you know how to use it, you have specifications, that it's suited for purpose, and then you have to have evidence of successful commissioning, that it's working properly, and all of this is rolled into safety, quality, and also waste management. So if the equipment's not working properly, you're having to constantly throw things away, or you're introducing contamination, or quality is affected, it's all a negative thing. So all of these requirements are to make life better, improve your product, reduce waste, everything moving towards the right way. And then of course our food loss and waste policy, It's a requirement to have a policy to start looking at food loss and to find out where throughout your operation you might have loss, and if you have loss, are there ways of improving it? Most companies that are operating an adequate management system are already minimizing their loss. So again, we don't want this to look too onerous, but with anything, if you have a policy to identify it and focus in on it and measure it, you can identify ways of improving it. If you're tracking anything, you can see where you have dips, where you have peaks, and if you can improve that, then you can reduce your food loss and waste. And reducing that is going to be a benefit to the company financially, it's going to be for benefit to the organization, to the supply chain, and to the world in general. So I think just by starting here, we're going to make an impact, and I think we're going to surprise ourselves with where we can make, you know, to reduce these losses. With the specifications about how to manage product donations to ensure that if you are donating them to a charity, to make sure that they're safe donations and that they're within scope. Also, you know, managing surplus products to animal feed. So there's guidelines on that, and there's ways to ensure the safety of the supply chain. So not compromising on food safety, but let's look at how we can all work together to have impact in this area. So, and then there's the definition of what food loss and waste is. So an example of an objective on a strategy to food loss and waste would be, you know, let's see if we can reduce food waste by 10% on a year with an overall reduction of 50% for 5 years. So that would be an objective. And then because it's a management system that's involving everybody, the whole company has an impact. It could be sort of loss coming into the company. It could be a loss coming out. It could be in packaging. It could be getting it into a shipment. So there'll be opportunities for everybody to have a look to see where they can contribute. Again, contributing to the culture of the organization is always a positive thing. Finally, the communication requirements. There's always been a need for a company to communicate any adverse effect or any problems within a company to their CB, but now we've defined it and it has to be in with 3 working days. So if you know, if there's anything that happens within the organization that could have a negative impact on food safety, it has to be reported to the certification body and then to implement mitigation or advice on what to do. And so serious events would include a war, strike, terrorism, flood, or anything that would have impact on the production. And a serious situation would include something that perhaps has happened internally, whether it's a food safety event or and the regulatory bodies have come in and found some issues, or you've got legal proceedings from an external organization or individual fraudulent activities and corruption. So anything internally as well needs to be reported for everybody's purpose. And then finally, sort of some main changes in order to realign with ISO 22003, there has been some adjustments in how the audit duration calculation is made. So there may be some increase in some audits, a decrease in others. And that, again, is all to keep us aligned with ISO 22003.1, which was revised. And then there may be some additional time required to cover some of the additional requirements that have been defined in version 6. So that's really what version 6 is. So I think I've summarized what it is. So, you know, I don't want to leave everybody breathless. We aren't going to leave you just on your own to do it. We have on our website what we call our change document. So there is a document. It's not the final scheme document. So don't come back and say, have you got a clean document? This has got red writing all over it. The red writing is actually there to identify the changes. So you can immediately see where the changes are and how they will affect you. You can see the wording, you can see what the implications are and what the impact is. And so hopefully that makes it easier for you to start your transition process. It allows you to start updating your own documents. It allows you to start notifying your teams of the changes that are coming. We've also got change documents for the annexes that I mentioned. They're on the website under version 6. And these are all free to download. You can go there and have a look at them. You can look at them online. You can pull them down. You can share them. So that's the first thing that we should do when we start to talk about upgrading to version 6. And start doing it now if you haven't already started. So while version 6 was published last March, the end of this March will be the end of version 5.1. So as from the beginning of April 2024, which is disturbingly close, can't believe how quickly 2024 has already made a start. All audits will be to version 6. So we've had at least 12 months to get used to this. We've had a lot of backwards and forwards. We've got frequently asked questions on the website. So, you know, we have been talking about this for a long time. So I would suggest, you know, you go there, you look at the frequently asked questions. They probably aren't ones that you'll have yourself. They may either be so obvious, you think, why did anybody ask that? But it's always good to keep track of them and have a reference and to provide your support and also for your team. So we also have guidance documents. So we have guidance documents for environmental monitoring, which is very informative. It talks about the different organisms, how to monitor for them, how to clean for them, what you should be looking for. There is a guidance document on equipment management and how to implement the new requirement on safe commissioning and appropriate design. We've got updated guidance documents on food defence and food fraud mitigation to meet the requirements of version 6. We've got a new guidance document on food loss and waste, which is very interesting. Got some good ideas on how to develop your plan, how to look for opportunities to reduce loss, how to look for opportunities for sharing waste products. Food safety and quality culture has been updated, and we have guidance document updated on transport and tank cleaning. So these are, again, all available online, and they're free to download. And they're also available in different translations. So they're not already available online. They will be available in coming weeks. So they're available in English, Spanish, Chinese, Japanese, and Portuguese, and Turkish. We don't have French translations at this time. We did have them last year, but they weren't very popular. So we have saved. So we have limited resources, so we've saved resources at this time. If we have continuous demand for French, we will add that too. But these are available, they're verified translations. But in all cases, the scheme requirements are also translated too. But in all times, the default version is the English version. But again, these are available as support for you. And then we have global representation around the world, as myself in North America and my colleagues around the world that are available for your customers, for your own organizations, your branches, available for support, advice and questions, and also for liaising with certification bodies throughout the world. And our website offers all the support as well. Sorry, I moved too quickly. So we can go there and get more information, the schemes, and there's some pre-recorded webinars in addition to this one that can provide you with information. So just in a few minutes that we've got left before we go to our questions, I just want to hark back a little bit to the management system approach that I've talked about. And I've talked about many of the new requirements need to be incorporated into your food management system and how the culture is all part of the management system. So I just wanted to just expand a little bit on that. And the link here on this slide will take you to a pre-recorded webinar on integrated management systems, which talks a little bit more about the importance of this ISO approach and the value that the ISO management system approach can provide, particularly moving forward into an era of increased awareness and the need for monitoring, you know, sustainability and really saving our resources or optimizing our resources. So I like to describe the management system as really a formula describing a process for the best way to do something. So it's just really a system or a process that defines how you do something the best way without, you know, wasting time, without wasting resources. So for instance, a quality management system that's defined such as ISO 9001 is a process to help you work more efficiently and reduce product failures to make the best quality product. The environmental management systems help companies reduce environmental impacts, reduce waste, and be more sustainable. So there's a way of doing things that you cut out unnecessary environmental impact. The health and safety standards are processes for you to think about how to reduce risks and reduce accidents in the workplace. And the food safety standard ISO 22000 is how you can prevent food from being contaminated, reduce risks, and make safe food. And all of these are management systems, and they're not just confined to the shop floor. They are applicable throughout the company. So they're company-wide systems that are focused on improving quality or cutting energy consumption or reducing environmental impact. And the benefit of these is they're all based on the same framework, so they all work together. So it's really a system that's developed to optimize a company's performance. So you'll be doing a performance, but maybe you're not doing it in the best way, or maybe you're wasting resource because your process is back to front. And these management systems, as I said, written by sort of consensus over a number of years and with a lot of expertise come together to offer the best way of doing things. However, it is company-wide, so it requires management commitment. It requires the whole process to be reviewed from the top. And it also requires a company culture that supports what we've talked about, making sure everybody's competent, making sure everybody's communicating with each other and want to continually improve. So that's part of the process, that we're looking at what we've done. Have we done it the best way? If we haven't, how can we improve it? And that's kind of in the plan, do, check, act process that we talk about. And the operational component is a process within the system. So in a foods organization, your food safety plan and your Codax HACCP plan is the operational component that's in the system. So a management system protects that, it enforces that and ensures that your HACCP plan works well and is bolstered by its support structure or framework around it. And the HACCP plan within ISO 22000 is, you know, supported by, you know, the identification of risks and then the control of hazards in the HACCP plan through prerequisite programs that we talked about, the critical control points of Codex HACCP and operational prerequisite programs that provide the hygienic environment around the food safety system, the food safety process. And then it also is based on a common framework which allows the integration of the other management system so that you can integrate it with ISO 9000 to enforce the quality control. You can integrate it with ISO 14000 to minimize your environmental impact, and you can incorporate against 45000 to protect your workers. So it all works together. And this is how it all works together. So all of the ISO management systems have the same set of normative requirements. So you'll see the same chapters labeled in all of the ISO management systems. And if you're working with 9001, you may already be familiar with something, you know, that we'll be already familiar with the requirement to review the external issues and to review the risks and opportunities. If you're running 45000, you'll already also be familiar with these elements. So when they're all put together in a management system, you know, you can all, the company-wide can get together and focus on these internal issues. Everybody has the same external issues, regardless of which area of the company that they work in. And then they all work together. You review them together so that you're not having to review them in each sector. You review them all together and work together to continuously improve. And then within the food company, this, for instance, would be your HACCP plan to review your risks and opportunities and to plan your food safety plan under 8, which is your operation. And then you would evaluate it, review it in your plan, do, check, act process. So it all works together. So your risks and opportunities in a food company are going to be the same for worker safety, for same for environmental impact, and same for 22,000, for 45,000, and 14,000 when you're looking at them together. So you've got the risk and opportunities of the company and the different, and what the different aspects of the functionality will contribute into that. So it works all together. And then you can integrate them if you're running the different management systems. And because you've got a common framework, you know, you can integrate those processes across the functions, and coordinating those processes will maximize your efficiencies and minimize duplication and reduce costs and reduce waste. And so the whole thing works better. So when I talked about the new requirements, and they appear to be a heavy lift, but if your management system is working, then you can incorporate those requirements within them and all to add improved performance and reduce your risks. And if you integrate the management systems, you're recognizing the risks and opportunities together throughout the company. So, you know, the quality control individual is not alone. You're not alone protecting the safety of your product. You're working within a company and the whole company is working together to support you to protect the safety of your product. And the plan, do, check, act cycle that I sort of redefined before, and risk-based thinking kind of works to ensure the identification of hazards. So we're looking at our hazards in our hazard plan, and then we need to control those. And then in the plan, do, check, act cycle, we go back to see if it's working. If it's not working, we're going to improve it. And then because we're all working together, it supports the culture of increased performance for the company. It improves employer and customer satisfaction, which adds to the improved culture. An improved culture protects your product and your output. And in doing that, you result in continuous improvement. So I wanted to provide that as a little bit of a perspective to version six, how, you know, the management system is bigger than just the HACCP plan. It's everybody working together. It's all the sustainability standards coming in. It's the reduction of waste coming in. It's just working together to do everything better, to reduce duplication, reduce waste, and improve satisfaction, both for the employer and the customer. So finally, so just to go back, come back to FSSC, just because I've got your ear, I hope I've still got your ear. Just a couple of other things FSSC offers. We have what we call our on-site program. So if you are FSSC certified, or if you have a number of facilities that are FSSC certified, or you have customers that are FSSC certified, then FSSC on-site provides you with a quick access to our customer register. So we have all of our FSSC certified organizations registered online, and they are, it's all public information. As I said, it's very it's very sought after to get on the public register to have an FSSC certificate. So people are very proud to be listed on our public register. And then if you have customers that are FSSC certified, if you subscribe to on-site, then you can be kept notified of the certificate validity, and it just makes easy access to monitor your supply chain. And it's our way of moving towards more transparency within the supply chain. We also have the FSSC development program, which is like a starter program for food safety management. So if you're interested in FSSC but don't believe that you are able to, you know, to take the big step up, we do have a development program which provides the basic elements of food safety management through ISO 22000 and the prerequisite programs. It's not GFSI benchmarked. It's kind of equivalent to the Global Markets program, but it provides that first start into food safety management, and it takes you through this food safety management approach so that you can accrue the benefits of having that management system protection. And that's all on site too. It's this link should take you straight there, and it's all free. There's a free gap analysis online so that you can have a look and see how your own food safety management systems compare. And then there's FSSC 24000, which is our new social sustainability certification program for social management. And that, again, we talked about earlier, is all part of FSSC's plan to move forward towards achieving our sustainability goals. A little bit more information about on-site, the digital tool, a little bit about 24000. And again, it's based on the ISO management system approach, so that it all works together to, you know, align and just make a company work more efficiently and more sustainability, more sustainably really. And both FSSC 22000 are aligned on the ISO harmonization structure, and 24000 really is to ensure organizations provide safe and fair working conditions. And as we move into, you know, 2024, then there are, you know, requirements coming out of Europe for due diligence to ensure labor relations, and 24000 was developed to meet those requirements. And I think that brings me to the end. So I'm sorry that I've gone long, Chris. I wonder if we've got some burning questions out there. I'm gonna just I can turn my camera on now.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Jacqueline. So you know, thank you so much for making time for us today. You know, I know it's busy. You guys are getting close to you know, the launch. So, you know, thanks for talking to us about the FSSC family of brands, and more specifically the changes to 22,000. So one of the things that I noticed in your presentation was when you were talking about strengthening the existing requirements. You know, as someone that follows food fraud really closely, I think it's really interesting what you guys are doing there with food loss and food waste. So we do have a few minutes and a couple of questions that I wanted to ask you. If we don't get to your question today, you know, please feel free to write it in, you know, send us an email. Give us about 24 hours and we will send out a link to the presentation today and all additional information. So the first question that came to me was in regards to some of the new changes. So you spoke about the food loss, food waste, and it being a policy. So in this first year of audits, is the auditor going to be looking for a policy or an actual policy, as well as evidence of a plan that it's been implemented?
I think you're talking about the same thing. I think that you have to have, you have to start the policy. And I think once you've got the policy, then you have something to implement. So I think it's the same thing. I think once you've got the policy, it's, you've only had a couple of months to implement it, right? So mm-hmm. you can probably identify those areas where you're already reducing your loss, because I believe that all companies, I don't think anybody, any company is wasting things on purpose, right? So sure. I think that you can just plan, define your policy, and then just define what you're doing right now, and then what your plan is to improve that. So say that you know that you're giving a certain element to charity or something, maybe you can protect your food a little bit further so that you can, instead of putting it into a landfill, you can provide that to the charity earlier. So mm-hmm.
local food bank, you know, something along that line.
Exactly. Sometimes you think, oh, we're not going to bother taking it, and then you find that you're, you know, they're past date so that you can't take it to the food bank anymore. So certain elements like that. So just kind of tightening up some of those activities.
Now, one of the questions that we get a lot, Jacqueline, as you know, brokers and traders, and I know that this was, of course, added because there is a market out there. So can you talk a little bit about that new category? And is this going to really be in place for what I almost like to think of as satellite offices, where their product isn't going to be housed, it's really just a sales office?
Yeah. So this is a little bit of a gray area. So the traders and brokers, they do need to have an address to audit, right? So they do need to have some sort of, you know, head office that an audit can be based. It can't be totally ethereal. So I still have to work that out, and I'll have to come back with all the details. But as far as I understand it, they do need an address so that you can audit that. Otherwise, you're not really auditing anything. Mm-hmm. But on the plus side, the traders and brokering for surveillance audits are the only ones now that can be fully remote. So once you've had the additional audit, you can do remote audits of, you know, processes and documentation sort of down the road. So it's kind of in between there, really. It's not mm-hmm. quite totally ethereal, but we still have to have something to sort of base that first audit on.
That's great. That's great information. And I did notice, of course, you know, the additional link you embedded in the presentation.
Yeah, there's a couple. Yeah,
for some additional topics for these more granular questions. Let's see, another one we got, of course, on the new changes. I knew these were going to come. So you mentioned a potential grandfather on the equipment. So obviously, the question that we got is, you know, we know we're responsible for the maintenance and upkeep.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of the original records because we purchased the business. So only with new purchases, yes, is that when this clause, yes, would take effect?
Yes, you'll see that it's defined in the requirements. So yes, it really comes into play when you commission a new or change the function of a machine. But when you're bringing in a new machine, you've got to make sure that it's fit for purpose, that you've got, and that you do keep those documents to, you know, for safe commissioning. But we're not going to have scope to go back to all of the old equipment. But having said that, you know, when you start looking at hygienic design, I think probably people will start looking at their, mm-hmm. It won't be a, you know, it won't be a fail, but I think it will have that knock-on effect for people to start looking at that. But no, the requirement is really going to have impact on new machines coming in.
Perfect. Okay. And then let's see, last question here. I noticed you had made some early in the presentation is when we got this question, based on the assurance platform, were there changes made to the assurance platform? Could you discuss that a little bit?
No. So the assurance platform is our public register. So when certification bodies come on board, they have to, you know, register. We have to have all their details to monitor them on our assurance platform. The qualification of the auditors are all monitored through us, through our assurance platform. So it's a great big database, if you like, that we keep track of all our partners, our registered partners, the qualification of our partners, the qualification of our auditors, and the audits. So all the audits are uploaded, they have to meet certain specifications, we have to ensure that they're done appropriately. So it's our way of monitoring really the quality of our partners, such as Perry Johnson. And as you know, Perry Johnson has to sort of upload everything into the assurance platform. It's not always smooth sailing.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I know a lot of that is really the back end, you know, logistics, yeah, of how the process works. Yeah. You know, I don't think that it's a customer accessible database.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. But through it's the same data that's available on our public register. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about on-site, it's almost coming back. So, you know, we have to ensure the good quality of the data and the audits going in. We have to make sure that the audits are kept up to date. And then that public register, which is so important for our certified organizations to show their customers that they're certified, that's going to become accessible through on-site. So there'll be a portal so that you can receive information on the validity of your customer certificates through the assurance platform. So that's, you know, it's kind of connected to the same thing.
Certainly. Well, fantastic. Again, thank everyone, you know, for your time today. Jacqueline, thank you so much, you know, for representing FSSC today and joining Perry Johnson. If there are any questions after the presentation ends, you know, feel free, please send them in. We'll coordinate with Jacqueline and make sure everything gets answered. So with that, look for upcoming webinars. I know we have got one February the 14th coming up is going to be based on risk assessments and, you know, loving yourself through risk assessments. So kind of a reach, but it is food safety. So, you know, really looking forward to that one. It's going to be a good event. Thank you so much, Jacqueline. Have a great afternoon, everyone.
All right, great to see you. Bye.